Good morning. Yes, whistle. All you got. Hey, brother. How you guys doing this morning? Chilly. Opened up my garage this morning, and I was sitting in the truck and looked outside, and I thought that it was ash floating through the air. It was snow. We actually went through almost like a full snowfall. It was sticking on the ground by the time we got to the coffee shop this morning, so that was interesting. But I think there's a lot of people that aren't here today because they're sick. So it's, 26 degrees outside right now, and I think it's supposed to be 77 by Thursday. So make sure you take your vitamin C this week because we want to see you here next Sunday. So, guys, so we've been going through Genesis chapter 3. And Pastor Kyle ended last week, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Eve had taken the fruit. And so what we're going to look at today, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, but we're going to be looking back really at, starting at Genesis chapter 3, and really from that point, when the first sin happened, and what came from that, and where we're at now, where we stand with God now. And this has been a fun study. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Studying this week gave me a new appreciation for Pastor Kyle, who works a full-time job and studies every week to put this message together, and it is a heck of a job. So, yes, we love you, Pastor Kyle. Okay, so here's kind of the main things we're going to be looking at today. So, in the very beginning, God created us, and then we messed up. When I say we, I mean stinking Eve. And Adam, he had something to do with it too. And so what we're going to see is Genesis chapter 3 is really the beginning of that redemption story, which I think we're going to be getting more into probably next week. But now we have this problem. So now that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, we have this problem, and the problem needs to be resolved. And the problem is we can no longer be in the presence of God. God created us for fellowship, and Eve, when she took that bite of the apple, that action, what that did was it basically made it to where they can no longer be in God's presence. So we're going to see this. Jesus redeemed us. He forgave us. And then he continues to sanctify us. He continues to make us better and better and more holy. And then the fun part at the end, we're judged. Okay. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So, but we've got this issue now. So we're still here. We're still here on this earth. And so now what do we do? We've got all this time that we're here, and so what do we do? Well, you guys are very familiar with the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, and talks about making disciples and teaching them about Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." We're created in him for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're created, we're still here on this earth right now to teach people about Jesus, and we're going to be doing these good works. And that is to share Jesus with people around us because we are God's marketing plan, believe it or not. We are the ones that he chose to market. So let's pray. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into Colossians here. So God, we lift up this morning to you right now, Lord, and there are a lot of people that are not here, God, because they are not feeling well. And this sickness is running through Middle Tennessee like crazy right now. So for those that were not able to make it today, God, I just pray that you would put your hand on them, that you would heal their bodies. God, that you would bless their time and your word today. For us, God, I pray that as we dig into your word here, that we would be drawn a little bit closer to you, God, that you would draw us near to you. We just thank you, Lord, that you love us. And we thank you that as we go through this, that we can really see your plan for us, God, how much you really do love us and all that you've done for us, Lord. And we just thank you for that, and we just pray that you would bless this time right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Colossians chapter 1. Guys, we're going to go through verses 9 through 14, and we're going to go through quite a bit of scripture that'll be right up on the screen behind me here. So verse 9 says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." And this is Paul writing to the Colossians. "And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we're going to look at this in kind of a reverse order today. So normally we'd go through verse by verse by verse, but we're going to start at the end and kind of work our way back up to the front. And the reason we're going to do that is because we really need to get a sense of who God is, who God created us to be. We made the mistake, and then now what he does for us. And we're going to get this picture of him kind of as it pertains to the message that we're in right now. So if you guys turn over real quick to 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6, and that's up on the screen now. So it says, "This is the message which we had heard, which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie and we do not practice the truth." And so this idea of light and darkness, of what God is, when we see this picture of light, we think of purity, right? There's no darkness in this light at all. So we think of purity. Guys, this is who God is. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, because light is righteousness. And so if light is righteousness, then what is dark? Dark is sin or unrighteousness, right? When Adam and Eve took the bite of the fruit in the garden, what did that bring into the world? It brought in the darkness. And if we are darkness, we can have no part with the light. So we have a problem. We've got this problem that was introduced 6,000 plus years ago in the garden. And where do we stand with that now? We still have sin in our lives right now. What does that mean for us now? Because if we have the darkness with us, then we have no part with God. And so how is that remedied? And so we're going to look now, and we're going to reread verses 12 through 14 in Colossians. And so it says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of the light." We need to understand this picture. You need to understand this picture of what God has done for you. You have darkness, you have sin in your life, and if you have that sin in your life, then you can have no part with God at all. But he did the work. He did the work, and he has qualified you now to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. I was sitting here, and I was trying to think about what is an example of somebody, of something that somebody does where they're doing all of the work for you, and you get to partake of it, but you don't have to pay for it. And I couldn't think of anything. I can't think of any work that I do for somebody out of the goodness of my heart and don't require anything back. I mean, it's typically something that I'm getting paid for. I was thinking about, we've got in our yard right now, we've got some guys that are there doing some work, and they're doing all the mulch around the house, and they're cutting the trees and trimming everything back right now as spring is getting ready to come. And every single year I tell Sarah, we don't need to pay somebody to do that. I can. What's it going to take me, like an hour? I'll go get the mulch. I'll put it all around the house. Every single year, it takes three guys 3 days to do all of the work around the house. And I'm going, what the heck was I thinking? That's insane. But I'm paying them a lot of money to do that work. Like, that's not cheap. Three guys, 3 days, that is a lot of work. And they haul everything off, and it's fantastic. And I get to sit there and watch it be done. I don't actually have to do the work. But it's nice that that's done, but it's not cheap. And we look at what happened here and what Jesus did for us and the work that he did, and he did it for free. And he did it because he loves you, and he wants you to be with him forever. And so he has qualified you. He has qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints of the light. That's who God is. He is righteousness who solely made the way for you to be with him, despite your continual bad decisions. So we're going to go back, and we're going to look at the beginning here now. So in the beginning, so now we've got this picture of who God is. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and now we've got God who made the way for us to come back in where there was no way. For 4,000 years, One person, one time a year, had the ability to be in the presence of God. And now, this picture that we have for us, Romans 5:2, we have this access to God anytime we want. When Jesus is on the cross and he said, "It is finished." Look, I got goosebumps right now. I love this. When Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," you guys remember this, the veil from the tabernacle split from top to bottom in two. This was a 6-inch veil, 6 inches thick. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," and he died on the cross, he made that way that for us. That veil was split, it was torn open, signifying for us that we now have access to God anytime we want. That's what that means, and that's what you have in your life right now, is access to him at any time. And so we're going to go back now, because here we are still on earth. So what do we have to do? We do have the ability to be in the presence of God right now, just simply through prayer. We can access him anytime we want. But we're still here, and if we're still here, then we still have work to do. So what is that? And so in verse 9, it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord." I'm just going to pause and let that soak in for a minute. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him." If that's not convicting, I don't know what is. "Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy," and one of the most important parts, "giving thanks." So we see this progression of the Christian walk right here. And when we look back at the beginning, when we were talking about the Great Commission, what are we doing here and what is the purpose now? We're still here on this earth, and what is our purpose? Well, our purpose is to make disciples and teach people about Jesus. You understand what that means is that you have to have people in your life. If you're teaching people about Jesus, that means you have to have people in your life to teach about Jesus and to make disciples. We were talking about this at the men's study on Friday morning. Are we doing this? Are we putting this into practice? Do you have somebody in your life right now that is either discipling you or that you are discipling? And that's that idea of Paul and Timothy, right? Do you have a Paul in your life who's discipling you, and do you have a Timothy in your life that you are pouring into and that you're discipling and helping to walk close with the Lord? Because that's what we're called to do. That is the Great Commission. And then we look at Ephesians 2:10. I've got to look back because I forgot what it said. "For we are his workmanship created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has prepared stuff for you to do in your life. It's already there. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you're not doing it, you're stealing somebody's blessing. The works that you do in your life, encouraging people, praying for people, teaching them the word of God, that's blessings in their life. And if you choose not to walk in that, then you're robbing them of the blessings that God has for them, because you're choosing not to do the work. So when we look at this, verses 9 through 12, what we see here is this progression of the Christian walk. And it's like circular. It happens over and over and over. And so, first of all, in verse 9, it says that we grow in knowledge, we grow in wisdom, and we grow in spiritual understanding. There's only one way to grow in knowledge. That's to read. Read the Bible. Read, read, read. So we grow in knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. Verse 10 says, then we walk. So now you've got that in your head. You've got all the knowledge in your head, and now you go out and you do something with it. And then the next step is trials. Of course, if you're going to go out and walk the walk, Satan's going to try and tear you down. And so he's going to bring those trials into your life. And then so how do you respond to those trials? Well, you respond with joy and you give thanks. Isn't that what you guys do when you go through trials? No? It's kind of funny, but if you read through the Bible and you read about trials in your life, almost every single time that you read about trials, anxiety, it always says, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. And then after you go through those trials and after you give thanks, guess what? You get to go through the whole thing all over again. You get to go back to your Bible. You get to read more. You get to grow in wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding. Then you go out and you pour out into the people that are around you. And then you go through more trials. And then you thank God again, as we all do. So what's the point of all of this? Because we're here now and we see this picture of who God is. We saw a picture of who we are first with Adam and Eve. And I always ask the question, if you were Adam, if you were Eve in the garden, would you have done the same thing? It's easy to maybe say no in hindsight, but how righteous are you in your walk with God every single day of your life? Looking at that, maybe you would have made a beeline for that fruit. I don't know. It seems like maybe Eve did, but that's a story for next Sunday, I think. So we'll get into that next Sunday. So what's the point of all this? So Jesus created us for fellowship. Adam and Eve messed everything up in the garden. God chose to use us to reach others for him. And then he also chose to sanctify us through that process. So we see this picture of all that God wants is to be with you, to spend time with you. Guys, when we get to heaven, we're going to have an eternity of that. And if you ever sit back, do you guys ever get to sit back and just picture what heaven's going to be like? It is a heck of a thought. If you can actually just kind of dwell on that thought of what is it going to be like actually when we're in heaven spending time with the Lord for an eternity. And that idea of no more pain, no more sorrow, but being in the presence of God for eternity. I got goosebumps again. I love thinking about this, and I love thinking about who God is and how much he loves us. And I can't wait to get there. I really can't wait to get there. You guys want to invite these guys in? No? Maybe next time. Go get them, Kyle. Next time, give them this. But that's, guys, that's what God created us for, because he wants us to be with him. And so in the garden, he created Adam and Eve because he wanted to hang out with them. And then they stinking messed it up. They did that. And so when they took that bite, they had that action where they took that bite of the fruit. I always want to say the apple. I don't know what kind of fruit it was. It might have been a peach. They took that bite of the fruit, and immediately, and I can't imagine that sinking feeling that they must have had when they gained that knowledge, because that's what they did. When they took that bite, they gained that knowledge of what they just did. I can't imagine that sinking feeling of now knowing I can't be in the presence of God anymore. They lived a good long time after that too. And so they had hundreds of years to kick themselves for that one action. And I just can't imagine what that would have felt like. But looking back at who God is, and I love to see this picture now of he just wanted to spend time with them. And God knew ahead of time the plan for redemption. He knew that they were going to make that mistake. He knows the mistakes that you're going to make in your life right now, today, the mistakes that you're going to make, and then continuing to move forward. But he already has that plan of redemption set for you. That plan of redemption being he is pure. He is holy and righteous, and he is pure light. And you have darkness in your life, and so how do you get to be in the light? Because if you have darkness in your life, you don't get to be in the light. And so what does that look like? And we're going to dig more into that here in a second. Okay, but first we're going to do this. So we're going to go back through verse 9, because I want to look at these things a little bit deeper to see what God has for you and why. And this is really just practical Christian living. Verses 9 through 11 here, practical Christian living. So in verse 1, the first thing that we see is that Paul prays without ceasing. And we see that Paul says that in just about every single letter that he writes. I've been praying for you. We've been praying for you without ceasing, nonstop. And really, what is he praying for? That they would continue to grow in their walk with the Lord. That's what it's all about. In your life, do you have somebody that you're discipling? Do you have somebody that you're teaching about Jesus? Do you have friends that maybe won't accept that from you? What are you doing for them? Are you praying for them? Are you praying without ceasing? Guys, on the spiritual front, that is your key weapon against the enemy. You pray for your friends. You pray for the people that you know that you don't know that don't have a walk with the Lord. That's what Paul is doing. He's praying without ceasing. And what is he praying for? Specifically, he says that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Do you know God's will in your life? Have you guys ever thought about that? Do you know what God's will is in your life? Do you know what he wants for you to do today or tomorrow or next year or the year after that? Do you know what God has called you to? I know what God has called you to, very simply. He's called you to make disciples and teach them about Jesus. You're called to love God above all else and then to love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 28, again, Great Commission. You teach those people about Jesus. That is the calling in your life, and that's what you're called to do. It's going to look different for all of us because we all have different spiritual gifts, right? And those gifts can change over time. I remember when Pastor Kyle was a youth pastor and just a goofball. You know, nothing has much changed there. He's still just a goofball, but now he's a senior pastor of a church. God has changed his calling in his life, and that happens. But what has God called you to today? How are you supposed to be ministering to the people around you today in your life so that they can either get saved or walk stronger with God? So Paul prays that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in your life, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So now, where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from experience, right? A lot of times we'll say, oh, this person so-and-so is 10 years older than you are, so listen to them because they got a lot more wisdom than you do. What they're saying is so-and-so has a lot more experience in life than you do, so listen to what they have to say. But also in spiritual understanding, and where does spiritual understanding come from? The Holy Spirit. And so we're looking now at praying that you would have the knowledge of God's will in your life, that you would have wisdom, which means that you're actually out there walking in it and learning and learning and learning, and then gaining spiritual understanding and listening to what the Holy Spirit has to speak to you. That's verse 9, and all of this comes from spending time with God. Verse 10, we get in there, and it says, this is a hard one, guys, because it says that you're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for patience and long-suffering with joy. Does that seem to go together, or does that seem like an oxymoron? Long-suffering with joy. Where the heck does the joy come from? So we walk... Well, that was verse 11, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Sorry, guys. We're going to come back to the joy here in a second because we're only in verse 10. I got ahead of myself. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. So walking worthy of the Lord, how do you walk worthy of God? How does that even happen? Because you know that you have sin in your life right now that you're dealing with. Well, if you've got sin in your life, then how are you worthy of God? I think the question is a little bit more simple than that. Are you doing what God has called you to do? How do you feel when you're out in the world and you've got people that are around you that aren't saved? Maybe you've got people at work or just in your life in general that are just, they're worldly people. Are you encouraging them in their walk with the Lord? How do you do that? Are you confident in who you are in Jesus? That's walking worthy of God. Being fruitful in every good work. The idea of being fruitful in every good work is, do you know what the fruit is? Anybody that has ever been in children's ministry knows what the fruit is. Because if you've ever heard the VeggieTales song, you know that if you want to be the fruit of the Spirit, you can't be a coconut. You guys know that. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it, you can't be the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit is... love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, it's the only time you'll ever hear me sing. Okay. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So if you're being fruitful in every good work, what are you doing? You're spreading the love of Jesus to those that are around you. You're being fruitful in every good work. Whether you're at work, doesn't matter where you're at. Guys, because here's the thing. It doesn't matter what you have a hard time with in your life. You know what matters is that the people that are around you are children of God. Those are people that God wants to spend time with forever. And he's using you to get the word out, to encourage. Are you walking worthy of God? Are you doing what he has called you to do? And lastly, then, are you continuing to increase in the knowledge of God? Very simply, are you guys getting up every day? Are you reading your word? Are you reading the Bible on a daily basis? Are you gaining that knowledge and understanding of God and who he is? So verse 11, so being strengthened with all might, but why? Okay, when it says being strengthened with all the might, why? For what and what purpose? God knows that as you continue to go out there and spread the gospel of Jesus, that Satan's going to attack because Satan does not want you to spread the gospel to the people that are around you. So you're going to be under attack. You're going to face trials, and quite frankly, you're going to need patience, and you're going to have to know how to deal with long suffering. I remember one time when I was 23 years old, living in Southern California, driving a 1987 Subaru station wagon, and I had the bright idea to drive from Southern California to Montana in a 1987 Subaru station wagon. I had no money to my name. I didn't have a cell phone. I just thought, this is going to be a great trip. So as I was driving out there, everything was going great. I got all the way up into Salt Lake City, all the way through Utah. It was great. Went through Idaho, and then I kind of curved over to West Yellowstone, if you're familiar with that path at all. Well, guys, I'm going to tell you right now that between Idaho and West Yellowstone, there is nothing. There is nothing out there. And so, you know, when you're driving a 1987 Subaru station wagon, what happens is you have car troubles because that's just what happens. So as I was driving down this long stretch of road and there was nothing out there, I'm just enjoying the scenery, and then my car goes like this. And just, I mean, the steering wheel jerked me to the right and literally off the road. And I came back in just immediate stress. I have no idea what the heck just happened to my car. And then it comes back, and it's driving okay for a while. But I've got like this stress, like, I'm not enjoying this drive anymore. And so what do? So I just start praying, and I'm like, God, what the heck just happened? I have no idea what just happened to my car. So I'm cruising along. I'm like, it must have been a one-off. Maybe I hit something. It was like maybe 10 minutes later. Like this, does it again, right off the side of the road. I've got no idea what's happening in my car. And so I'm just praying and praying and praying. And this is this idea right here of, did I have patience in this trial? I was scared to death. I don't have any money. I don't have a cell phone. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I don't know what the heck is going on with this car. And so it was maybe 2 hours of this, guys, where this car was just, and the longer I'm driving, of course I didn't pull over. And so I'm a guy, like, so I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, it's gonna fix itself, I'm sure. No, it didn't. And so it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm like, I gotta stop and I gotta figure out what's going on with this car. So I get into this town that I don't even know what the name of it. I wasn't into West Yellowstone yet, but it was like this little town. And when I say town, what I mean is there was one house, a gas station, and like a general store. That was the whole town. And for some reason, the gas station that was there had like two bays. And so I pulled the car in and literally just drove right into the bay, hoping that they're even open. But I'm like, the door's open, so I'm hoping that they're open. So I get out, and so I don't know if you guys know much about cars, but underneath your car on the front, you have two CV joints in there. And so what they are, there's like an axle boot down there, and there's two bars that go like this, and they sway like this, and there's grease in there that lubes everything up. Well, all the grease had come out, and so now you've got metal on metal doing this as you're driving 1,200 miles across the United States. And so when I got over that thing, the guy pulled that thing off, and he said, you see this right here, how it's solid, and I can't move it at all? It's supposed to freely do this. And so when I got over that bay, that thing seized up like that. And we had to fix it. And that's a story in itself. But looking at this, I could have been stranded out there in the middle of nowhere. And somehow, you know, I'm praying through all of this stuff. And when you're in the midst of the fire and when you're in the midst of a trial, probably what you realize is you don't feel a whole lot of peace all the time. And I didn't. But what happens is when you're praying through that whole thing and you're relying on God through a trial, when you get through it and look back, that's when you realize, oh, that's what God did. He was with me the whole time. And now going through the next trial, hopefully I'm going to remember that. Typically I don't. And then I get through it again and I look back and go, oh, he was with me the whole time again. Hopefully I'll remember the next time. And that's the point. You go through these trials and you continue to thank God. You find something to give thanks for. As you go through this, you find something to give thanks for. It's just like when we go through communion at the end of every service. The reason that you find something to give thanks for is to keep your focus on God. When you're going through a hard time, find something. You guys probably know the story of Corrie ten Boom and when she was in the Nazi concentration camps and her sister. A lot of bad stuff was happening in those camps, and this one was a camp for women, and her sister was there with her. And in their barracks that they were in, they had fleas. And her sister was always thanking God for the fleas. And she's like, what the heck is wrong with you? Why are you thanking God for the fleas? And they found out later that the fleas that were in there is what kept all of the guards out of their barracks. And they didn't know that until later. And it's, you find something to thank God for, and you look back on it later, and you'll realize what the Lord was doing. And so you go through these trials with thanksgiving and joy. This is part of what draws you closer to God. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. James says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. It's hard when you're going through it, but God always has a plan. And you're probably going to see it when you look back on what he was doing. Guys, so we see this progression in the Christian walk. Again, it is first gaining the knowledge of God. So you're reading your word and looking at this very practically in your life. You read the word of God to gain that understanding, wisdom, and or knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. And then you take that out and you put feet to your faith. You take that out and you walk the walk. Then you're going to go through trials. It's going to come every single time. As you're going through those trials, you find something to thank God for. Go through these trials with thanksgiving and then know that you're going to do that whole process all over again. And what is the point of all of this work? Guys, for us, judgment. Judgment. How exciting is that? It is exciting. And I'm going to tell you why. You guys know what judgment looks like? You know what it's going to look like for us, for Christians, for people in this world? Revelation 20 kind of gives us an idea. Great white throne judgment. That's pretty gnarly if you ever get to read through that. It's quite a bit, so I'm not going to read through it right now. But essentially this. You've got the believer and you've got the unbeliever. Okay? The unbeliever is going to be judged different than how you as a believer are going to be judged when that time comes. The unbeliever is not covered by the blood of Jesus. When you get saved, when you confess Jesus and you're saved, you have accepted that sacrifice that Jesus made for you. And when God looks at you, he's looking at you through the blood of Jesus that has paid for your sins. Do you understand what that means? When God looks at you right now, how does he look at you? Righteous. Why do you think that you have the ability to be in the presence of God right now? You have sin in your life. You repent of that sin, and that's how God sees you as righteous. He's looking at you through the blood of Christ. So the judgment for the believer, this is something that should probably wake us all up to what's going on around us. There's a spiritual battle going on around us for you, for your kids, for your family, for your friends, for the people that are around you. Satan does not want them to go to heaven. But God does. It's God's will that none would perish, right? So what job do you have to do? to spread the love of Jesus to the people that are around you. Because the judgment for the unbeliever is going to be judged against the law of God. The law of God is perfect, right? It demands perfection. If you've got one person in your life that has ever lied, disobeyed their parents, coveted anything that their neighbor or their friends had, that's sin. One sin, what does that do? Well, I'll tell you what it did for Adam and Eve. It knocked them out of the presence of God. What does that mean? If an unbeliever has sin in their life and they're judged against the law, they do not get to be in the presence of God. That means that they will spend an eternity outside of the presence of God. That's hell. We don't want anybody to go there. Now, as for the believer, it's a little bit different, isn't it? And this is the exciting part for us, is that judgment for us, Romans 14:10, says that we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That judgment seat, the bema seat, what that is, originally, during the Olympics, you know those little podiums that they stand on for the Olympics? You know why they stand on those podiums? To receive their reward. To receive their reward. Sorry, that came out like a frog in my throat. They stood on those podiums to receive the reward from either the race that they just ran or whatever it was that they did in the Olympics. Guys, for us, the Bema seat is standing before Jesus, receiving our reward. That's exciting and odd at the same time, because you think, how am I possibly deserving of anything? How am I possibly deserving of a reward from God when I spend this life? I just feel like all I do is mess up. I feel like God came in and he did everything for me. That's his job. That's what he did. He made the way literally for me to be in heaven and with him in eternity. And what's my job? Well, apparently it's to continually mess up, because I feel like I've got this life and this lifestyle, and I think that's really for all of us, is that's just what happens, is we go through life and we're living in, we just have this sin in our lives that we have to continually come back and repent for to the Lord. And so so this is how we're going to be judged, guys. And so Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, it says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. If you get saved, if you repent of your sins, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, if you repent of your sins and you confess Jesus to the people that are around you, Jesus will confess you before his Father in heaven. That means you have entrance into heaven. Jesus paid the price for you to be in God's presence forever, and all you have to do is accept. And so this idea of what does it look like when we're judged, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid by Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. Sorry, guys, I completely lost my place there. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it is revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will receive loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So why does God have all this work for you to do? Well, for two reasons, really. You have people that are around you in your life that need to be built up in God. They need to be built up in their walk with him. They need to be encouraged, strengthened, and God uses you to do that, just as other people do that in your life. God uses you just as he uses them. Now, between you and God, you've got all of this work in your life that you do. And one day you're going to stand before God, and guess what's going to happen? you're going to receive a reward for the work that you've done. And the picture of that is you got a lot of mistakes in your life. You got a lot of good in your life. When you're standing before God, all of those mistakes, everything that you have made, all those mistakes in your life are going to burn away and they're gone forever. And in Psalms, what it says is that that sin is as far as the east is from the west. You guys know how far the east is from the west? You know how far the north is from the south? 10,000 miles-ish. How far is the east from the west? It's an eternity. East and west goes on forever. North and south, North Pole, South Pole. Interesting that they didn't know that when they wrote Psalms. It's interesting when you see that kind of scientific stuff happen in the Bible. It's neat. Because God knows. Because all scripture is God-breathed, right? And so looking at this now, all of the sin that you have in your life when you're standing before God burns away. And what's left? All of the good that you did in your life. And then what happens? You get rewarded for that good. So we've got this picture now of the believer's judgment that we get rewarded for, but why? God did all the work. So we've got this picture now of God created man for his good pleasure, right? God created man for his good pleasure. And then man messed it up. And then God came back in and sacrificed himself for you because he wants to be with you forever. He made the way by himself for you to be with him forever. And then what does he do? Then he gives you a reward on top of that. Just for doing what he's called you to do. That's pretty exciting stuff, as far as I'm concerned. And this is a fun study for me to be able to go through, to look at all of this stuff, and just to see it clearly, is that all I have to do is what God has asked me to do. Go out and spread the word. Spread the love of God to the people that are around you. And then he's going to give you a reward. So guys, we're going to wrap this up, and then the worship team is going to come up. And then we're going to take communion. And so looking at all of this is that we messed up. Jesus paid for it. He forgave us. And he continues to work on us until the end because he wants to have that relationship with you. That's what sanctification, that's what that process is that he continues to work on you in your life to help you become more righteous, more like him. So he paid for you, forgave you, and now he continues to sanctify you forever. And then at the very end, he's going to reward you for all of the stuff that you've done in your life. Let's pray real quick. So God, we thank you that we could be here to go through your word, Lord, to gain a knowledge of your word, to gain understanding of your word. And I just pray right now that as we go through our day, Lord, that you would show us what is the work that you have for us to do. God, I pray that you would make it very evident to us the people that are in our lives even today that need encouragement, that need understanding, God, and that you love, God, that you want us to pour into. Help us to see those opportunities that you have to be a blessing to the people that are around us today. And God, I pray even for me that you would convict me of those times when I just don't want to do it. I'm just not in the mood. Or if I'm angry and somebody needs something and I miss it because of my own sin or my own anger, Lord, I don't want to rob that person of that blessing. And so I pray that you would help me to see all those opportunities and the same for all of us in this room, God. We love you. We thank you that you love us. And we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We pray all these